Welcome back to another episode of the Profitable Audience Podcast. Now, for the past several episodes, we've been talking a lot about mindset and the mental barriers to success. But today we're shifting gears and talking about content creation. Specifically, how to create engaging content that your readers, listeners, watchers actually want to consume. So I'm actually curious, Tony, I think we have different styles here. What is your process like? I guess we just start with blogging, I guess.
Sure. Well, I think we need to talk really quickly about why this is so important.
Sure.
Because you talked a little bit about it. There's a huge sea of websites out there that people can visit and learn from. And so you have to do something to stand out so that people want to come back. And we talk about that with email marketing. But when people land on your site, you want to keep them there long enough so that it actually takes some sort of action that then they can become repeat readers. So that's
why. Can I just go off on a brief rant real quick?
Uh-oh. Yep, you can.
I actually really hate now that when I go on Google and I search for something, it's all a bunch of regurgitated content. I can tell that it's some hired writer that's come and maybe looked at all the other pages on the front page and is literally just rewording stuff that's already there. It's very obvious to me. And now for me, it's getting really hard for me to find content online that I can actually trust. Rant
you know,
over.
Okay. Here's the thing that I was about to disagree with you, but then once I started thinking about what you were saying, I actually totally agree with you on this. Like, I feel like that is the new, it's not the new style. What is it? That's the new trend for people to do? I don't get it.
It's because, you know how Amazon has all this junk on there now?
Mm-hmm.
Google has the exact same problem because it's so easy to just copy and regurgitate someone else's post, you know? And so they all blend together now. Like, if I'm doing research on a certain topic and I look at the front page of Google, every one of those posts say almost the exact same thing. There's like no personality to it whatsoever.
Well, should we talk about personality first then? Because that's my, that's all I got.
Okay. Well, that's a little cocky. That's all you got. You're just full of personality, aren't you?
I'm just saying, like, my personality is what I rely on to keep people reading. I'm not a bad writer, but I'm definitely not the best writer. I'm probably not the best crafter or cook, right? My recipes are not so amazing. They're standard stuff. My projects are simple. But I feel like the reason why people want to hang out on my site is because they relate to me personally. And that's what keeps them reading, is because I'm relatable. So not the personality is all I've got, but that's what I rely on. Because I know with you, you're writing these mega posts that are like heavily researched and very informative, but that's not the style that I have for recipes, DIY, that sort of thing. So I have to rely solely on people just connecting with me.
I mean, I think that's really the secret. So I'll tell you what, like if I look on the top 10 for something related to marketing, I don't remember a single publication. I don't remember who wrote that article at all. And it's like that now for, I would say, 90% of the posts that I read. Every now and then, I stumble upon like a personal blog, and which teaches me something in a style that has personality and storytelling. And I actually end up remembering that site, and I'll go back to it. Over all the other, I want to say content farms. They're not really content farms because it's like a step up from content farm. But I can just tell that everyone is just farming out content to other people, like writers that don't even know what they're talking about in a lot of cases.
Well, it's kind of funny that you say that because, you know, I don't follow as many like marketing and business blogs as you do, but, you know, one of my favorite people is Marie Forleo. Mm-hmm. And I think, but if you think about that space, it's very crowded, right? There's a lot of Marie wannabes or, you know, people in that space. And to me, the reason why I started following her was because I liked her personality. Like, she's a little bit of a firecracker. She's tells it like it is. And so that's why I kept going back to her site, because I related to her personally. It wasn't that I think, and I still don't think that she's probably the best marketing person out there, but to me, she's the most relatable marketing person out there for me.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I'm thinking about to all the people that I follow too. I follow them because I like them.
Yeah.
In some cases, like, I regard them as like the expert also, like the foremost expert. But actually, when it comes to just strategies, facts, and that sort of thing, you can get it from a lot of places. It's who you get it from that really matters. And that's where storytelling and personality all comes into play.
Okay, one more little tangent before we actually get to some practical tips for people.
Sure.
But do you remember when you went to that mancation and you guys did Wim Hof?
Yes.
And you got into like a pool of ice, right?
Yes.
Was that all the same time?
It was, yes.
Okay. So you told me about it and I thought you were crazy, but I actually did a little bit of research on it and somehow I stumbled across this video from Lewis Howes where he's in an ice tub with like 12 other guys. Have you seen this? I think he has it on Instagram and they're and they're chanting and they're like chanting to like stay warm. Have you seen it?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
I haven't.
He reposted every once in a while. Well, I even had a book from him that I had probably received at a conference or something like that. Never read it. Never interested in anything that he had to say. And I stumbled at during my looking up about the stuff because of you, I stumbled across that video that he posted on Instagram. And something about that video just like spoke to me. Like, I just love like the fact that they were all in there freezing. And there were a couple dudes in there that were like clearly miserable. And he was just sitting there just taking it, right? Mm-hmm. And I immediately connected to his personality. And now I follow him and I read more of his stuff. But it was because that one piece of content that he put out there just totally spoke to me. And then I became a fan. It just took one thing.
You know what's funny about that is when I was in the ice bath, the last thing I wanted to do was shout, actually. You're too busy like trying to breathe that it's actually really hard to shout.
Well, and I just remember there was this one guy, and of course, no one can see us. There was one dude in there that was clearly like, he was like totally like that, you know, like his arms were pressed up against himself, and he was just like eyes closed, completely unengaged. And everyone else was like, I got to find the video. I'll see if I can link it to it in the show notes too, because, Okay. Yeah. Anyway, totally connected with me. So,
actually, there's a lot of people like that who I follow that really connected with me. Steve Poblina, I used to follow I don't follow him much anymore because he started writing about some weird stuff. But that one post, it was called How to Make Your First Love Dollar, incidentally inspired me to start my blog. And it was just so well written. And the advice in there wasn't like groundbreaking, but it was just the story of his journey and how that first dollar that he made on the internet meant to him, which really spoke to me and actually influenced me to start my own blog.
Can you just tell what a love dollar is? Because every time you say it, I have such weird ideas.
So a love dollar, like if you make a dollar at your day job, it's just another paycheck, right? But when you make a dollar with your own business, or in this case, it was his blog, like an AdSense check, I think, that dollar means so much more to you because you worked for it. Not that you didn't work for it at your job, but at your job, it's almost like it's given to you, whereas you earn it when you have a business.
That's right. I love that concept though. Even though whenever you say love dollar, I think of very weird things, but.
You're thinking about like prostitution or something or?
I do, but I wasn't going to say that. don't go walking around telling people you're making love dollars. okay. So, but there are some strategies that, because I think a lot of times people think, oh, I can just create a YouTube channel. I can start a podcast. I can create content and I can just speak my mind and people will listen. And that's just not true. You have to do some things initially as you're writing to keep people engaged in reading your content. So we actually have a lot of strategies and we teach this in the course. And actually, I think it's one of our webinars too, of different things that you need to do to get people to read your content and come hit, whether they're from search or social media, there's things that you should do. And the first one that I want to talk about is post titles, because this is one that actually, I think you're really, I'm not good at this. You are very good at this.
Okay, so I think I'm okay at it. But the reason that I have conflicting, I literally spend sometimes up to an hour on these post titles. And the reason why is because when I write, I have to take into account SEO as well as clickability.
Right.
Right. And so when you're trying to use certain keywords in your title, though, unfortunately, that takes away from how creative you can make your post title. So it's like this trade-off. The posts that I'm not targeting for search and just for engagement, those are the ones that are a little bit more fun to write. But I guess the key point here is that even if you have the best piece of content in the world, it doesn't matter if people aren't even going to click to actually even read it. And so that's why I feel like the post title is actually sometimes even more important than the content itself.
Really?
Yeah. And the reason why that, so you use YouTube also, right?
Yep.
How many times have you watched a video straight through just because of the title, even though the video was just okay?
Every single time?
Yes.
Every single time. Okay, so I feel like on YouTube, I am such a sucker for this. And maybe because I'm jaded on the content side, you know, as far as like written content. But on YouTube, I'm still a rookie. I don't know. But I will watch every video all the way through if I like the title. Doesn't matter. Because I'm waiting. I'm waiting for it to be what I
exactly.
think it is. Yes.
Exactly. But if it had a crappy title, you might not have even have looked at that mediocre content, right?
I won't. I won't at all. It's so true for YouTube. I don't think for web as much, like just straight up content written. But yeah, YouTube 100%.
Well, in Google, it matters because the click-through rate matters. Like if people are clicking on your post over all the others on the front page, chances are you're going to rise up in the rankings, assuming that they actually read your post.
Yeah.
I think it's actually more important to have both when it comes to written content. YouTube, like I said, me and you, like I'll watch a crappy video all the way through just because I'm hoping that there's something good at the end. Whereas in a blog post, people tend to skim, right? And just jump straight to the end. Yeah.
Yeah, because you can't really skim in a video. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah. Although I'll watch in 2x, but still, that's still half the video that you have to watch.
You watch in 2x on video?
I always do, yeah.
What?
Yeah, you don't do that?
No, I watch like regular people do.
Oh, I also listen to podcasts at 2x also.
I can't. So it depends on who the podcaster is. Most people I can do at 1.5.
Oh, okay.
But certain people I can't do fast because I feel like they already talk really fast normally.
That's true. I guess maybe the people that I listen to don't talk that fast. But they're YouTube, certainly. Like people beat around the bush. And yeah.
Anyway, I listen to your, I do your YouTube videos at 4x.
May as well do it at like 10x. Okay. You don't even need to watch my YouTube videos. I know. You know what I'm talking about.
It's funny because I'm working on your Pinterest right now, and it's like I'm so familiar with a lot of your content. I'm like, oh, that post again. Okay. Okay. So just something I think I'm good at with creating a title is there's two, because you made a list of like things you should do with title, but the two things I think I'm good at is using numbers. So 7 ways to have a spa day at home, or 7 ways to not have a car payment. And then the adjective one, I like having, you know, the most delicious, juicy chicken leg you'll ever eat in your life. You know, like that's the part that I'm good at. The other tactics, I'm not as like, I think I'm just good at those because that's how I write normally. Mm-hmm. And so they come easy. I don't have to think about it. The one that I wish I was better at, which I think would be helpful for me, is to use the current year.
Yeah. So I started using the current year, and it actually helps because people are always looking for the most current stuff. You just have to remember to update that from year to year and update that post. But yeah, it works really well, especially for stuff that I write about. Probably less important for the stuff that you write about though, right?
I think for some of the financial stuff that I write about, it would make sense.
Okay.
It doesn't matter for banana bread. You can make that no matter what year you live in.
And I find it funny that you enjoy using numbers in your title, considering you're bent towards anti-math practices.
I was waiting for the, you don't like math. Because I have found like this, I figured this out years ago, my readers or my audience, they love having checklists of things. So 5 ways to menu plan, 10 ways to save money eating out. Like for some reason that makes it manageable for people. They feel like, oh, well, I can do, there's got to be something in the 10 things that I can do.
I mean, we can just use an example here. So what would you rather click on? How to write better copy or 5 brain dead ways to write better copy?
Obviously the second one, right?
Obviously, the second one. Yeah.
Well, for a couple of reasons too. Like how to write better copy seems so ambiguous.
Right.
Like how much work is this going to be? I don't have time to invest, you know, 15 hours in a copy course, but 5 brain dead ways, like that tells me it's easy. Right? I could do it if my brain's not working. There's only 5 of them, so probably I can do that. If not, I'll probably hit 3. So it just seems much more doable from the very first thing that you notice, which is a title.
Yeah, and then also the use of adjectives really adds to it. So the brain dead actually adds a little bit to it, too.
Yeah.
It makes it simple. Or 5 surprisingly simple ways to write better copy is much more clickable as well.
Well, and actually, I actually like the brain dead in this example only because I feel like a lot of people say simple or easy, mm-hmm. right? If you just spend a little bit of time on the internet, you'll notice that people always use certain words like easy, simple. So when you change it to brain dead, that's a term that people don't use as much. So I think it just catches your attention a little bit quicker than, you know, surprisingly simple. Although I think that's better than doing nothing.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, other words that always catch me into clicking are things like the definitive guide or This is the
There's
last
no better
tutorial
guide.
You'll
There's
ever
nothing.
Need. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. One time I clicked on something that said, the only tutorial you'll ever need on this. Yeah. And I clicked on it and I was like, ah, crap, I need another tutorial. I mean, but I clicked on it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So
I worked on a thing yesterday and it was the definitive guide to something, meal planning. Yeah. It was and I was like, and it was Lori's post. And I was like, oh yeah, definitive guide. There'll be no other guides needed. This is all we need. So
and?
Yeah, I'm reading my own meal planning guide. Sorry, Lori. No, but I think that's really important. Another thing that we talk about is using emotion.
Yep.
Which I think this is where I think you talked about being like kind of on a content farm level. That's what those are missing. They don't have any emotion.
Yes.
And so it's a way to stand out.
It's hard to convey emotion. You have to use certain words. Like actually one of my posts that really ranks well, and I actually just did a YouTube video on this and it shot up because I used the word dead. Mm-hmm. This strategy is dead. Here's why. So for some reason, the word dead just inspires emotion in people.
Yeah. Well, I wonder why.
Or critical mistakes. Like the word critical for some reason, or crucial, or words like that seem to do the trick also.
Yeah. I actually just did a pin for you yesterday about, it was like the hidden dangers of selling on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
I think. And I actually I can't remember what I changed it to, but I made it more scary.
Ooh. What did you
use? I don't know. I can't remember. I don't have it up in front of me, but I was, it made me think about that when I was, cause for Pinterest, like you want to have titles that are super compelling. Cause it's kind of like Google when people see a sea of content and the titles on the image, you want it to be compelling. And so, but I was like, oh yeah, that's a good one. We can make that really scary.
Yeah, no, it works. I mean, it's for everything. These skills apply to YouTube, podcasting, and, you know, blog posts, everything, really. Yeah.
So, okay. And then there's a little tool that you can use that we talk about. You want to talk about that for a second?
Yeah, it's called Headline Analyzer by CoSchedule. I actually don't use this tool much anymore, but in the very beginning, I used to use it all the time. Basically, you just type in your post title, and it will rate it based on a variety of factors. Right. So, for example, are you using common words? Are you using emotional words? Are you using power words? And what a power word is, it's like those big emotional words that we were talking about.
Yeah.
It'll give you a number from 0 to 100. So if you're new to this, as most of us probably are, like if you're not used to writing these titles, you're not going to know what to do. This tool will actually guide you along the way, and it's free.
You know, what's funny is that I think you're the one who introduced me to it. Every time we do a webinar, I start using it again.
Oh, is that right?
Okay. Like every time we talk about it, then for the next 3 days, I was like, oh, I should probably analyze some of these post titles.
You know, there's like this, I wish I could find it somewhere. At one point, I had like this list of power words. So,
a good idea.
So when you're ready to write a post, you just kind of go through this list and see if you can wedge one of those in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, so one more thing before we move on to the next thing. How much of this do you need to balance with having it, because what I don't like is when you see people and it's almost like they've crammed so much in the title they've tried to like hit all, like to me it's like you follow some of the rules some of the time, you don't try to do everything in the same title.
Right. Well, see, because I write for SEO a lot, mm-hmm. I'm limited to 60 characters.
Yeah.
So whatever I can get in there that sounds natural and compelling within 60 characters, it's not always possible. So sometimes I go over a little bit.
Yeah. I think though what you just said, the part that it has to seem natural is important.
Yeah.
It can't read like you're trying to check boxes off for all these different things.
Yeah. Yeah. The actually one last tactic we didn't really touch on was like using brackets or parentheses.
Yeah.
For some reason this gets me all the time too. And I was looking at I think you just reposted your Cinderella's castle thing recently,
yes,
right?
Yes, I did. It's my anniversary, my castleversary.
Exactly. So how to stay in Cinderella's castle, if that was a post, I'd be like, meh, everyone does that.
Yeah, everybody.
But you stayed in Cinderella's castle without spending a dime.
Yes, that's
in parentheses.
True.
So
you know what's funny about the parentheses and the brackets is that I never do this in my post titles, but I do this in my emails almost every time I send an email.
Ah, okay. By the way, this applies to email subject lines as well, all this stuff.
Yeah, but it's funny to me that for some reason I can't like make the mental jump from email to content. Like I just, I don't know. I don't know why it's there. One thing that helps an email, just totally jumping off for a minute, is if you can put, if you have a video link in your email, you just put the word video in brackets, that throws my click-through rates through the roof, or open rates.
Interesting. So, yeah. You use emojis now too, right?
I use emojis, but the video is, so I'll say, you know, best banana muffin recipe ever, and then brackets video. And that, like, I've tested that over and over again, and it just, and all I do is link to, like, the Facebook Live. It's not even, like, a good video. It's not a YouTube polished thing. It's like the Facebook Live where I make the muffins.
Interesting. I'll have to use that one. I have not tried that before.
Well, you should do that because you have all the video now that you're sending
out. That's true. I always send out a video now. So,
yeah. So you could do this easily. You don't have to, like, if you don't have a video, obviously you can't do that, but
what about audio? Would that work just as well?
Audio.
Probably not, I'm guessing.
Just me talking. Just keep talking.
Or just like photo.
Yeah. Photo included. Photo of me. Photo of me. Photo inside. I'm not sure that would work as well, but you could try it.
So the other key that also we forgot to mention is like, if you can create some sort of open loop and still use your keywords in there, that's like the best. Like, strategy number 4 on this list will blow your mind.
Oh, yes. Yes. I never do that.
Like, I try not to do it because I don't want to disappoint the person. Yeah. Unless it really will blow their mind. Sometimes it does, I guess.
I'm not BuzzFeed. I can't do that.
But anything that creates curiosity tends to help the click also.
No, I've seen that. Or like, 8 things to do with your tax refund. Number 5 surprised me.
Yeah.
But don't be so cheesy.
Don't overdo it. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Thanks to BuzzFeed, like, everyone is wary of those tactics now.
I think, I don't know if they started it, but I feel like they're the biggest.
But, you can do it subtly, right? Like, this one habit really improved my productivity.
Yeah. One I habit. Did that one. Yeah. When I sent out my book list for the year, I was like, you know, books I read in 2020. And then it was like, and the one book that changed my life.
Yes.
So that's less cheesy. And it did, that was a true statement. Like, it definitely did.
Right.
Okay. Let's move on. We could probably could have done a whole episode on titles.
We could.
Yeah.
Which, all right. All right. Let's move on. Let's
next
move on.
Next time. Okay. The next thing we want to talk about is what is actually inside your content, which is the most important thing, I think. I know you said title is important, but I think you have to be, you don't have to be a good writer, actually.
I agree. I'm not a good writer. My mom will tell you that.
We can't take your Asian upbringing and use that as a standard. I was listening to one of our podcasts yesterday, and you talked about, I think it was when you were talking about going to math camp or something when you were fourth grade, and I thought, not relatable.
Do you know why they sent me there? Is so I could be around people that were smarter than me, and so I would get less cocky. It worked.
No.
It did really work. Yeah, because I was really cocky in school, because I was always ahead. I would be playing paper football during class.
I love that game.
And so my parents were like, okay, well, let's send you to a place where everyone is smart. And I got my ass kicked. I was like the dumbest person at that camp.
First of all, I don't believe that. And then there weren't any white people there?
There were. And it wasn't just math camp. It was a bunch of things, but yeah.
Okay. Okay. So, okay. Back to...
What were we talking about? Yeah.
Okay. Your body of your writing... and I don't know if this, I think this can apply to YouTube and podcasting as well, just not quite as structured, I would say.
You know, what's funny is I've carried a lot of my writing into my YouTube, not so much in the podcast because I do interview based and those go all over the place. What I make sure I do is in like the very first sentence or first paragraph, tell them exactly what they're getting. And I think I do, and maybe this doesn't work for, or it's not as important for you, but for me, like whenever I write something that's trying to teach me something, it's important to me that I know what it's all about before I even invest further.
No, I think this is to me probably the most important thing. And this is why I believe this is because I Google recipes all the time for my family. Like I'm always looking for stuff to make for dinner. And there's nothing that drives me crazier than when I'm on my phone, I Google a recipe, I find one, and I always look at like the ratings and stuff like that. There's other factors in me clicking over. But then when I click over and get to the recipe and it's 16 paragraphs of her life story or their life story, and I'm still not quite sure if I'm on the recipe yet, I want to know in that first paragraph, And there's actually a plugin that will that'll let you just jump to the recipe. So if you're not using that, you should. But what I want to do is know that this is the recipe that I want to make. And the fact that I have to scroll on my phone for 45 seconds is exceptionally annoying. So I think for some reason, I think people have gotten away from putting the main idea in the first paragraph, which I feel like is like basically middle school English.
Well, if I read someone's story in that first paragraph, oftentimes I'll leave. And that's actually not good for SEO either, right?
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. It's like you can still be a storyteller and get the main idea in the first paragraph.
Right.
So you could, let's just go back to banana muffins. You could say, I'm so excited to share with you my grandmother's banana muffin recipe. This brings back so many amazing memories of mm-hmm. growing up next door to my grandparents, whatever. You can still add that component and obviously get more. I mean, food bloggers do this because they want more content, right, for SEO. So they're trying to get to like 600 words or something. So they're telling stories. But at the same time, you have to let people know that they've landed on the right spot.
Here's what always confuses me. I watch a lot of webinars just so I can make my webinar presentations better. But mm-hmm. I noticed some of like the most successful webinars, they don't talk about anything for like the first 30 minutes. How do they get away with that?
I don't know, because it drives me insane.
It does too. It drives me insane.
So I would think, I don't know, because I don't watch as many webinars as you do, but I wonder if it's because they're trying to develop that connect, that personal connection mm-hmm. with the audience. So they're not, because I know you and I, we spend probably, and you do this too, we probably spend 5 to 6 minutes just welcoming people, letting people get on. Because I know like a lot of times with webinars, people are signing on a couple minutes late, so you don't want to just start right mm-hmm. from the gate. But after about 6 minutes, you and I are both like, let's roll, because yeah. I don't want to be on this for the next 4 hours.
Maybe the mentality yeah. is different, right? You're committed to going to this webinar. And so maybe you're much more willing to sit through than if you click on a post or a video where you can just immediately jump off, right? There's no like, it's not like there's a human on the other side.
Here's the danger, I think, with webinars in that, is that if I've decided to watch a webinar and this person starts telling me their life story or something, I will literally open up another window on my computer and start working or doing something else. And at that point, I'm completely disengaged from the webinar. And I might not go, I might have it on, but I'm nowhere near as committed to it as I would be if they started.
That's a good point, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I can't be the only person that does that.
I just find it hard to believe that all the webinars I watch is like a rags to riches story. Or I was down to my last dime, and lo and behold, this...
They all are. Lord. Everybody is down to their last dime. I want to find someone that always had dimes. I want to learn from that person. You always had dimes? I want to learn from you.
You know what's funny about that is that type of story turns me off immediately.
I know it
like
does.
Like the fact that you could get down to your... And I'm... I don't know. Yeah.
How could you get down to your last dime?
I know. How
what's
does that happen?
With you? Like, be better. I don't mind it if there's something out of the, sometimes it's circumstances beyond their control, right? Maybe they grew up in a situation
sure.
that was
yeah.
very unfortunate, but it's the people that were like, I was in my 20s with a degree from Harvard working an amazing job. And then I got down on my luck. I'm like, no, you made a bad choice. You didn't get down on your luck. Like that's what I don't like.
Yeah, exactly. You're not taking responsibility for what's going on.
Yeah. But, when you say down on your luck, I immediately want to change the channel.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's our philosophies. It's not. All right.
But good for you guys for turning your luck around.
So this might not be for everyone, but I like to write like how I talk.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's important to not blend in is to just take a stance on something.
Yes.
Right? Don't kind of skirt the middle or stay on like the middle of the fence. I actually had this problem for many years, mainly because I didn't want to offend anyone.
And then you offended the entire Etsy community.
And then I offended. Yes, that's correct. I offended the entire community, but that post got a lot of hits.
Isn't that the worst though? I did the same thing. Do you remember the show Extreme Couponing?
Yes.
Okay. And we've had friends on the show, so I don't want to say too much about it. But I found it a little off-putting, some of what people were doing. Not our friends Paul and Tiffany. They were on there too. But there were some other people that are on there that I felt like it was – I don't know. I didn't like what they were doing. I felt like they were taking from other people basically. And
what do you mean?
I wrote – because they would go and clear the shelves. And so like a regular person that just wanted to get a little bit of money – could never get any of the sales because these extreme people would come and like buy every single thing. So it's like no regular person could ever just save a couple dollars, which to me, that's what those coupons are for anyway. They're not for people to have 500 boxes of Wheaties.
Right.
And I wrote this post where I went after all the couponers, and it was not a nice post. Like it's probably the most aggressive thing I've written on my
site. Is it still on your site?
I think it is.
Oh, nice.
I'll have to find it.
Yeah.
And I got so much traffic from that post because like there were the hate people, right? Everyone came over from like the coupon forums to yell at me. But then there were so many people that were just happy that it's kind of like when like today, because this is before, you know, social media and stuff, but it's kind of like in today's world when someone puts up a post on Facebook that's kind of controversial and then everyone's like, I agree. Because no one wants, and then someone's like, no, you're being a bully. And then everyone's like, yeah, you are being like, you need the one person to like stand up.
Right.
And then like say, no, this is wrong. You can't talk this way. And that's why I felt like that post was, is that like I was the person that was willing to go after the couponers who can be aggressive too and say, hey, no, you can't just clear the shelves. That's wrong. You're taking from other people and you're like hurting the store's bottom line. And that then raises prices for everybody. And maybe think about this. And so there were so many people that commented and basically felt like, hey, I've been thinking that too, but I was afraid to say something.
Yeah. Is that show still on?
I think they run some reruns because Tiffany posts every once in a while that they ran the rerun.
I mean, maybe they should just give the merchandise back. I mean, they're not paying for it anyway.
Right. Well, and I didn't like the people that would do that and then sell it.
Oh, that's bad.
Yeah. And you're thinking, well, because like stores had to change their coupon policies.
Yeah.
Over this. So anyway, but I agree with you. It's good to take a stand on things because I think nowadays everyone's afraid of hurting other people's feelings.
Right. And so that's actually what sets like the hired out writers from like when you write it yourself. Like, for example, if you're hiring a writer in like the Philippines or something, they're just going to go and regurgitate the stuff that's already out there. It's important to express your own opinions because people resonate with opinions rather than, you know, what's already out there.
You can express your opinion without being rude about it.
Yeah, I mean, you just have to take a stand. The reason why this is hard for me is because I was born in a culture that, you know, a lot of Asians don't speak their mind. It took me a lot of time to get over that. Yeah. Yeah, we're supposed to just be quiet and take it.
I feel like it's hard for me because I'm a people pleaser. I don't want people to come at, like, I don't want someone to be angry with me, even though it's clearly my opinion. But I just want everyone to be happy and get along.
You know, I was taught at an early age by my dad that your hard work will eventually reflect upon getting promoted and everything. Like, people will notice these things. And
do you agree with that today?
I don't agree with that today.
Yeah, I agree. I don't agree with it either.
Yeah. You have to stand out. I mean, if you're going to write something, if you're going to put out a piece of content, make sure you at least pick an angle for that piece of content that's different than what's already been written.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah. Well, we see this all the time in the course where people want to do something, but there's millions of competitors. And so we always try to say, find something that's unique to you in a way to cover. Like our friend Dana, who is in our course, who basically, what is it? She's like how teaches people how to achieve their goals when they, I don't know, not when they're lazy, but what
she wrote it in such a more eloquent way.
Just can't. It's not, that's definitely not, I'm butchering this, but basically it's
how to do the things that you've always wanted to do or something like that.
Yes.
Yeah.
But her market is not, it's not people like me who are always looking for some sort of challenge or motivate. Like I'm always like, give me the next challenge. Let me do it. These are for people that are like, I don't feel like doing anything, but it's possible to kind of get over that. I mean, she's run marathons and all these things, and she basically teaches people how to achieve really big goals without kind of having that crazy go-getter mentality.
Yeah, exactly. I was about to just tell another story of childhood, but I can't remember what it is. I have all this trauma. I have all this childhood
painful,
trauma that's
painful
coming out
childhood
on this podcast.
Memories. I know. So here's a tip that I like, and this is, I think you do this as well when writing, because another thing that kind of bugs me is when you read a piece of content and they're just all over the map. It's not succinct.
Yep.
And one way to get away from doing this, and actually will help SEO, it'll help with everything because it keeps you on track and it helps people read it better, is to, what do you use, H2 or H3 tags?
H2 tags.
So using H2 tags, basically create an outline in your content and then have that be something that you work from. So if you wrote that post about why you hated MailChimp, couple years ago.
Yes.
So basically, if you were writing that post today or when you wrote it, you would come up with the 7 reasons why you don't like MailChimp or whatever it was, right? And those would be your headlines. And so what I like to do is I put my headlines in the post first, in the content first, mm-hmm. and then I fill them in after that. And that way you stay on track.
Yeah.
You don't go off on these crazy tangents. It's good for SEO. And you can also kind of work, you can massage that in a way that the heading tags work for SEO. And then you're able to cover all the, because have you ever written a, you probably never do this, but I do this sometimes, where I write a post and I publish it. And then 3 weeks later, I'm like, oh man, I should have added XYZ. I didn't cover that and I should have, mm-hmm. which you can always go back and edit, but it's nice to get it from the beginning.
Right.
If you start from the outline, the chances of that happening are much less.
Yeah, I think for me, it just depends on the type of post. I mean, you point out that MailChimp post. That was just straight storytelling. Like, I told the story how they banned me right before the holidays. They banned me right before, like, a presentation. And there's no customer support. I mean, I don't want to go off on them here in this episode. But I think the story was much more impactful than any certain reason that I disliked them. Yeah. I remember but what I was going to say now.
Okay, what's your childhood trauma?
So, growing up, I was always kind of taught to fit in or try to fit in with with the other kids. Maybe it's because I was Asian. I don't remember. This same goes with everything in life now, whether it be writing, content creation, whatever. Like, you actually want to stand out. Like, you want to embrace the fact that you are weird or different and highlight that.
You know what's so funny is I'm currently doing a challenge, of course. And part of the challenge is to read 10 pages in a book every day.
Okay.
And I kind of did the challenge last minute, so I didn't have a chance to, like, go to the library or check out a book or whatever. So I grabbed a book off my bookshelf that I got from an event, I don't know, probably 5 or 6 years ago by, I think it's Chris. Is it Chris Brogan? Is that who it is? I'm blanking on his name.
Yeah.
And it's, I think it's called The Freaks Shall Inherit the Earth. Have you read that one?
No, I have not.
Okay, so it sat on my shelf since I don't even know when, probably 2013. And I started reading it the other day, and that is his exact point. It's like, you've got to be a freak. Those are the people that are successful. Because if you're just, if you're vanilla like everybody else, who cares? No one's going to care about your content.
Yeah, and no one's going to remember you even, right? Oh, I should read that. But it sounds like my type of book, actually.
I think it is. I'm only 30 pages in, because you have to read 10 pages a day on the challenge.
Wait, you're only limited to reading 10 pages?
You can read as much as you want.
Oh, okay.
But
okay.
I just, like, it's also 2 workouts a day, and, like, all this, like, I don't have time to read more than 10 pages after all that. But no, I think, like, right off the bat, I was engaged in the book because I thought, you're right. You have to be different. You have to have a component of your personality that makes you stand out. I honestly believe that one of the reasons why my blog grew so quickly is because I had all the kids. Right?
Yeah.
Like, that made me a freak. Not that I had kids to have the blog, for sure. That's definitely not a reason. But I think that was one of the things that people were just, it's like why people like the Duggars, right? Because they've got 115 kids, and they're just, you're, even if you would never live that life or be any interested in it at all, it's enough to want to watch it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's funny. Now that I'd learned that, like, I'm bringing up my kids a lot differently. Like, if they're quirky, like, I tell them to, just be quirky in public. Just do it. Who cares?
except maybe not. there's limits.
It's hard to get over the trying to fit in part, though. In all aspects of life, really.
So. I think at for most people at the core, they want to fit in.
Yes.
And so being different is tough, and taking a stand is sometimes tough. But I also feel like you're never going to be that different. So even if you embrace your quirks or your freakiness, there's going to be your tribe of people that totally accept that, and you resonate with them better than anybody else. So you become their person.
Right. I mean, let's just take Pat Flynn as an example here. Everyone knows he loves Back to the Future.
Yes.
That's one of his little quirks that everyone embraces and remembers, right? I'm starting to think mine is now Russian math. I hope that's not the case. I don't want to be.
I had 3 thoughts for you when you said Pat Flynn. These are the 3 things that immediately came to mind when you said, okay. So microprocessor design, that was the first
really?
One.
Really? I don't talk about that all the time, do I?
I feel like we talk about it all the time. I think it's more of a joke between us, though.
Okay.
But that's, okay. And then Russian math was my number 2.
Right.
But the most vivid thing that just literally just popped in my head was you with your toys still in the box.
Ah, well, see, I think a lot of people do that, so that's actually not that quirky.
Well, it is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyway, embrace your quirks. Yes. Embrace your quirks and write in a way that shows it off, because that will cause you to have really engaged fans.
I mean, I think that's literally the secret to great content.
I agree with you, except for the fact that the one other thing that I think you should do, and I don't even know if we talk about this, is follow all the rules. Use headings.
Mm-hmm.
Embrace your freakiness. Write in a conversational manner. But I think it's really helpful if you write it and then walk away from it and then come back like a day or two later.
Interesting. I don't do that.
You know who taught me this is JD Roth.
Really? Okay. Yeah, he's a great writer.
He's an amazing writer. And so usually, like, I don't take advice from him on a lot of things, but with writing, I do. Because he's an amazing writer. And I don't know when he told me this, 3 or 4 years ago. And so I've tried to make that, because I'm like a lot of last minute stuff. So I tend to like be writing the post the day it needs to be published, or, you know, the night before. And I'm sure as heck not going to go back and read it the next day. But what I found is that, and I know this is not as helpful in SEO, but a lot of times you can say the same thing in less words and make it more succinct. That doesn't mean you have to make a shorter piece of content. You can add more information. But sometimes when you write like you talk, it gets very wordy, and sometimes it can be said better. And I think that actually helps people read it. So I've found that if I write something and then I walk away and I look at it a day, it doesn't have to be a day. It could be a couple of hours, but you just need to get your head out of it for a couple of minutes. Because you also don't catch mistakes when your head's in it the whole time, because everything starts to blur together. And usually the mistakes aren't atrocious, but, you know, it's just a way to become a better writer is to do that. And I do think it works.
Hmm. Okay. I'm afraid to go back and read what I've written.
You're like, no, I hit publish. I walk away. The building is blowing up in the background.
What if it's so bad? Yeah.
I don't want to see it.
All right. So let's just summarize what we talked about here. We went off for like 30 minutes on post titles, which incidentally, that's what, 75% of an episode. That actually is how important the headline really is.
I think that's right, because that's the reason why people are going to even click over and read.
Right. And then after that, it's more freeform. Like, it should be structured. Like, you should have your main ideas down, and you should express what the post or piece of content is about right at the top. But outside of that, you know, it's up to you to make it interesting, whether it be through storytelling, your personality, and then get freaky. Well, I hope you enjoyed that episode. Now, for more information about this episode, go to profitableaudience.com/podcast, where we list all of the tools and resources mentioned in our show notes.
And if you enjoyed listening to this episode, please go to Apple Podcasts and leave us a review. When you write us a review, it not only makes our day, but it helps keep this podcast up in the ranks so other people can use this information, find the show more easily, and get some awesome business advice.
Leaving a review is by far the best way to support the show. And please tell your friends, because the greatest compliment that you can give us is to provide a referral to someone else, either in person or to share it on the web.
And if you're interested in building your own profitable audience, subscribe to our free 6-day mini course, where we walk you through the exact steps needed to find your niche, build a website, grab email subscribers, and monetize your content. You can sign up at profitableaudience.com/free.
Thanks for listening.